Thanks for joining us for the PHNX Suns postgame show brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a five-star review. Unfortunately, you guys, the Phoenix Suns were not able to get it done tonight. They fell to the Miami Heat, 113 to 112. This one was really disappointing and really frustrating, but let's dive right in. What are your 3 points of this game?
Well, mine to start is 102 to 89. That's what the Suns were up by with about 8 minutes to go in that game. From there, the Heat went on, I think it was a 12-0 run over the next 5 minutes or so. And at that point, they were down one, and it was a completely different ball game. It just seemed like they weren't stable on the offensive end. They were committing turnovers, and they couldn't stop the Heat on the other end. It fell apart on both ends of the floor, and it was the reason that they walked out of there with an L tonight.
Mine's 21. That's the points by Dwayne Washington, and we'll get into that in a second. But he was outstanding, especially in the first half.
Yeah, mine was 22-2. Miami's makes and free throws to the Suns' makes, and it was a 25-4 advantage at the line, and that's not right. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many basketball games you play, you're not going to see that happen ever in most cases, and it's just unacceptable. Yeah. For multiple reasons, it's unacceptable, which we'll get into.
22 fouls on the Suns, 10 on the Heat.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big discrepancy.
It's called horse shit, is what it's called, all right?
It is, and we will get into that, but tonight we're going to start with Gerald's point, that 102 to 89. This was frustrating. Like, I think that's just the best way to describe it. It was frustrating. The Suns had a good lead. It was fun. It was exciting. It felt like they had found a good groove. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was bad decision making, bad play, mess up here. And then it was like, what? Wait, hold on. Can we rewind for 2 minutes real quick?
Yeah, it was tough. And I think during that stretch, there was a little bit too much campaign. And yeah. And he, to be fair, in his defense, he did hit that one floater that put them up by one again in the final minute of the game. But there were too many of those running one-handed floaters that he does that are tough shots. You could tell the Heat's defensive pressure got to the Suns, and they kind of had to revert to some of the other guys. And it is kind of worth wondering, in a game like this where Dwayne Washington Jr. had it going in the first half and where Damian Lee was making big plays like he's done for the Suns all season long in the fourth, hitting corner threes, doing the little things, if this might have been an instance where you say, okay, we'll pull one of the starters that's not normally a starter and play one of these other guys that's rolling right now.
Yeah, you're way too kind. A little bit too much campaign, a hell of a lot too much campaign in that fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Give me Damian Lee, give me Dwayne Washington Jr., either of the two who were on fire at multiple points in that second half, and you go with a guy who was utterly ice cold. He was 4 of 17 and 1 of 6 from three. Mm-hmm. Like, you should not have that guy on the floor, especially when he's known to have irrational confidence even when he's shooting like this and take shots that don't help you win in the end.
I mean, I get it, but we've never seen Dwayne Washington in the clutch. Mm-hmm. We have no idea what he's all about. I know he had a great shooting game, but even in the time in the second half when he did get, he was a little sloppy with the ball. He had a really bad turnover straight to basically nobody, just straight to the Heat is basically what it was, a wraparound pass that went straight to – there was no sun around, like, so I don't even know what he was looking at. So, I mean, I'm not going to stress about the fact campaign played in the fourth quarter. Devin Booker was getting double-teamed. They needed somebody else to step up. I don't really care about campaign. The thing that I keep going back to is the same two over and over and over again. Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton, where are you two at? In the fourth quarter, they needed you a couple times. I know we're going to get to DA, but Mikal also needed to step up, and he didn't do that either. And so that was just a frustrating end to that game.
If you're not comfortable with Dwayne Washington, though, why not Damian Lee, who is 4 of 7 from deep and has hit a game winner for you this season?
Oh, Damian Lee should have been in, for like, sure. I'm not even arguing about that.
Like, there's no excuse to have campaign out there on a night like this in that close of a game when you had two options who had it going tonight they could have played for.
I think my biggest problem with that is, okay, if you're going to stick with the starters, that's fine. But Book literally played the entire second half, and I think that if in that fourth quarter you're looking around and the way that he was picking apart the Miami Heat's double teams in that third quarter, you could run a point book lineup with Damian Lee in there instead of Campaign, or with, you know, Lee and Craig on the floor at the same time. But Book was dog tired at that point. So you saw his reaction time on some of those doubles was not as pristine as it was. He needed to get a breather. He played 42 minutes tonight, and they're kind of running him into the ground. I know they're missing Chris Paul. I know they're missing Cam Johnson, and they've been missing Jay Crowder all season. That's three guys that could start for you. But, like, you've got to find a way to get him breathers.
But they weren't even having Campaign bring up the ball. So at that point, you might as well have somebody that can shoot and has been had some rhythm tonight if you're going to play him at shooting guard. I don't need to see Campaign playing off the ball. Mm-hmm. If he's not helping spell a book from any of the ball handling duties, I don't need to see him out there.
Well, and I think that's the hard thing to balance as a coach, especially Monty and Campaign, that duo, because we've seen this since Campaign joined this team. We know that Cam's an emotional player. So Monty's naturally going to want to put Campaign in that type of a situation to continue to build up his confidence, especially if we aren't likely to see Chris Paul in the near future. Who knows when we'll get him back? He's got to be in the starting lineup still. You want his confidence to continue to be high. If Monty pulled Campaign there down in the clutch and put in Damian Lee, what would that have done to Campaign? I'm sure all these questions are going through Monty's head. I'm not saying it was the right call, but I bet you that's more what was going through his head than anything.
Okay, I'm sorry, but if you're that mentally fragile that you can't see why you would get pulled out in that situation, the Suns have bigger problems.
But we know that.
I'm going to use your point the other night against you kind of a little bit. You know, we talked about, you know, what are we doing in the regular season doesn't really matter as much. Let's get to the playoffs and stuff like that. This is a great opportunity to see if you can rely on Campaign down the stretch. Clearly you cannot. So what I will be interested to see is as we get to the next game, if Chris Paul's still out and it's a close game, do they make a slight modification and try Dwayne Washington at that point? Because you do got to see what you have, right? And this is the first time they've been in a close game since Chris Paul has gone out. Usually Chris Paul would be seeing those minutes. Obviously, when he comes back, he will. So I'm not stressing about this. Honestly, I know everybody's upset about the referees, which rightfully so. The referees were the worst part of this game by a mile. Outside of that, though, this was a fun basketball game, and I thought the Suns were going to dominate and win. It was fantastic, and it's okay. It's okay that it was a close game at the end. Like, I wanted to see that. I want to see a close game and them go, you know, tit for tat down the stretch, which they did. And, you know, and honestly, I think if it hadn't been for Devin Booker being gas fucking tired. I mean, that last shot against Jimmy Butler told you everything you need to know. I know Jimmy Butler is a great defender and he had his number on that play for sure, but still, like, Book was exhausted at that point because nobody else is helping him.
I'll give you that with Campaign and letting him, you know, see what he can do in the final moments. If we're trying to operate in this regular season, doesn't matter. But what I can't forgive with Monty is not taking a timeout there in that insane scramble at the end. Take the timeout.
Yeah.
Get your offense set. Try to come up with something.
Give Book a breather.
Yeah. Other than Book having to try to battle, there at the end and hoist up a shot that he had no chance on. Timeout. It's that simple, yeah. Monty. And he doesn't do that nearly enough late in games.
Right. And I do think, because I've seen this on Twitter, I've seen this in the chat a little bit as well, people, you know, saying Monty's not even a good coach or he's a fraud or whatever. They still have the highest win percentage in the NBA since the bubble started. And I know that Chris Paul coming here has played a big part in that, the growth of the young guys. But, like, it takes a foundation, it takes a philosophy, and it takes an offensive and defensive system to be consistently in the top five or top 10 in offensive and defensive rating. Like, let's not overreact. He made some mistakes tonight, not taking the timeout. I think personally, I would have opted for Damian Lee down the stretch there with Campaign struggling. But again, there are long-term benefits to trying to stick with pain and coming up short. We've talked about this so often. Like, this is the season to experiment, to see what guys can and can't give you. And if it costs you a win here or there, that's okay. The one thing is you can't let the losses continue to pile up to where it costs you seeding.
Yeah, and I don't think Monty's a bad coach, but right. if we expect players to show growth, mm-hmm. I want to see Monty to show growth mm-hmm. in these kind of situations, because this timeout stuff and clock management down the stretch has been something we've brought up in the past. He's just not a guy that takes a lot of timeouts in those situations when sometimes I think they could be immensely beneficial.
I mean, even just to catch your breath for a second mm-hmm. or to calm your emotions, yeah. all that kind of stuff really plays into it. We do have a super chat from Michael. Michael, thank you for your super chat. Said Mikal and Ayton want nothing to do in high pressure moments. Both hide when it matters.
We're going to get to DA, so I'm not going to say anything about that at the moment. Mikal, listen, when the Heat went on that run and the crowd got really into it, the players, when the crowd is as frantic as they are, players feel like they can get away with a little bit more because everything is kind of helter-skelter, even for the refs. Mm. And I think that just threw Mikal off completely. He was going too fast for himself when he would get the ball. He wasn't really looking for opportunities to score. Everybody on the court seemed like they were deferring to Book. And that's not a good thing when you know as soon as Book touches the ball, he's going to get double-teamed. But again, this is part of those growing pains. You used to have to do it with Chris Paul. Chris Paul was the one that kind of saved things for you when Devin Booker wasn't. Now he's out. Somebody else has to step in. I think tonight, honestly, was one of those moments that I think Mikal might look back and be like, okay, yeah, I learned a lot from that game. And I learned to not defer as much as I did in that fourth quarter.
And I will say in defense of Mikal and DA, Mikal checked in for the last 5 minutes, basically. So he wasn't out there for a lot of the run where things started to go wrong. He did have that one play where he had that bad turnover that we thought he got fouled, and it just turned out that he bobbled the ball. And DA entered at about the 7 minute mark. So same thing with him. He was dealing with the eye thing. He got poked in the face. Mm-hmm. Maybe that factored in. I don't know, but you're right. Those are two guys that, if they're throwing double teams at Book, and if he's dog tired because he's played literally the entire second half, those are your two other franchise pillars that are out there with Chris Paul out. You need them to make plays. You need them to do more than what we saw. And both of them had bad turnovers in the fourth there.
Yeah. The thing that I will go back to Monty is in the third quarter when they were starting to pull away a little bit, when they started to get, a nice little run and the guys were all cooking. That's the time to pull Book out and give him a few minutes, because you're going to need him in that fourth, mm-hmm. especially without Chris Paul. But, he didn't. And, this team, listen, I get it. People are upset about the refs. And, yeah, the refs had a huge deal to do with this. There was calls on one end that were not the same on the other. And it was complete bullshit, you know what I mean? But, I could talk about the refs all fucking night.
Well, let's do it. So, Michael, we'll get to the DeAndre Ayton part of that question here in just a little bit. But Juan said, let's talk about the elephant in the room. The refs fixed this game. I don't know that I'd go as far as to say they fixed the game.
Juan is extremely pissed off right now.
But I don't blame you for being upset because, again, this is just kind of a frustrating thing that part of it is on the Suns. But I think tonight you can say part of it is on the officiating as well.
Yeah, look, I'm right there with you, Juan. And I said in pregame, two things were going to determine this game. The rebounding battle, the Suns won that 45-42. And free throws. They got jack stomped in that case, 25-4 in attempts and 22-2 in May in points off of free throws tonight. This is a ref problem. The NBA has a referee issue in the way they call games. And I understand that the Suns don't traditionally, at least this season, draw the contact in a lot of situations to get the fouls. But this is completely egregious. The Suns had 3 free throw attempts till late in the fourth when Devin Booker got that end one. 3 in almost 4 quarters of basketball. That is not possible. It just mathematically not possible to only be fouled and get 3 free throws in almost an entire basketball game. There is a problem here. Now, I'm not saying that this is rigged because that's ridiculous. I just think some of these refs are really fucking bad at their jobs. And I can't wait for the last 2-minute report where we find out there were 4 things that they missed that would have swung this game for the Suns third time this year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but do your damn job and do it well. We expect the players to go out there and perform to the best of their abilities. How about the damn refs? Go out there and call a correct game. Call a fair game. Even 2 or 3 more free throws in this game swing this in the Suns' favor. It's asinine to me.
Right. And it's one of those things that we had brought up before the Suns had went on their run and before the Heat had gone on their run. Because I hate to play the referee game or it was fixed or anything like that. But when they tied their second fewest free throw attempts in franchise history in 54 years as a franchise
tonight.
That's
insane.
Like that,
and they
that's
almost said it.
That's an aberration. It's something that doesn't happen often, but it seems like the Suns are more often than not on the other side of that. They need to either find a way to stop pissing off the refs. I don't know if part of it is that refs just don't like how much Booker and guys yell at the officials for calls. I don't know if it's that they need to create better contact. We've talked about DA needing to do that, but they've got to find a way to even that discrepancy, because if that continues on a night-to-night basis, you're not going to win many basketball games.
Look, I mean, I'm sorry, but this isn't about drawing contact tonight at all.
Not tonight.
No, this is about just bad job by the refs. There's no way of putting this at the feet of the Suns tonight, and I don't think the Suns complain that much. The whole league whines. That's this generation of NBA player is everything is whining. Whoa. Everything's complaining every call. You know, I don't think that the Suns do it particularly that much more than anybody else to where you would see these kind of discrepancies in calls.
Honestly, I didn't even feel like Booker really complained that much tonight. I feel like, every now and then, he would say something, but not as egregious as he has been before in the past. I thought the Suns as a whole probably could have argued a little bit more and complained a little bit more about some of the calls that they were getting against them. Again, like Bam gets called for, or DA gets called for a foul on one end, and then the very same play on the other end, Bam doesn't get the same call against, I think, DA or maybe even Mikhail. And I'm like, where's the consistency in this? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that really irritates me. I don't really care about the foul calls. One thing about being a referee, you will always hear that no matter what. I heard it in fucking elementary school games when I was a referee. Oh my God, it's 10-1. I'm like, well, your team sucks and they keep fucking reaching and these dudes keep blowing around them. That's why I gotta blow the whistle, because these dudes are playing fucking flag football or tackle football out here. Like, it's definitely going one way. In this game, I didn't feel like that, especially when you're talking about a team like the Miami Heat, who have a reputation for being as physical as they are. You just know you're going to have to keep an eye on that. And they just didn't do that. The refs just completely missed a lot of calls out there. And that's just tragic.
I love that Ref Saul was dropping truth bombs on the moms on the sideline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, your kid is trash.
Your team sucks. Shut up.
I always like to say Jim and Karen, because I never like to single out a specific person.
Right.
But Jim and Karen, I swear, if they ever said anything was other than anything but a travel, fuck those two, because that's all they said. Oh, he just traveled. I'm like, you have the ball. Shut up.
All I'm going to say is tonight, like, we've had moments throughout the season so far where people have brought up the officiating, where we've brought up the officiating. I don't think I've had more audible frustrations from the four of us in a game that I've heard all season more than tonight.
Well, it's kind of what Saul was saying about the consistency. There was that one play where Torrey Craig got an offensive rebound and went up for a second one, couldn't quite get his hand on it. And it was because Kyle Lowry kind of like bumped him while he was in midair, didn't take his legs out, but pushed him forcibly to the side there. Then on the exact same very play, Devin Booker gets a foul for doing the exact same thing to Bam Adebayo.
And not even as
Adebayo
egregious.
Loses his shit, like hits the ground, falls,
he just got shot. Yeah.
And that's a foul. Like, that's the consistency. And that might be, again, I hate to say it, but like, the Suns might need to start exaggerating contact if they want calls. Because
bring Manu Ginobili in as a special assistant coach to teach him freaking flopping at this point.
That's how you know he's upset. Like, he wants to bring in Manu Ginobili.
Yikes. I mean, well, but okay, if it's bad refereeing on both sides, fine. They suck at their job.
Yeah, that's
but
that's
when
acceptable.
It's not consistent, that's infuriating in so many ways.
Right.
And most nights, the refs don't swing the game, right? Mm. But tonight, literally, two free throws is the difference in this game if they get to the line and make two more of them.
Right, and that's the tough part is, like, it came before that run. Like, the run itself was not a free throw fest or anything like that, but the damage had already been done. It had kept the Heat within striking distance, everything leading up to that run.
And also, the chat's talking about, oh, the NBA's rigged. There is no benefit to the NBA to screw the Phoenix Suns for 54 straight years. It's not a rigged business. It's just people really bad at their jobs. Like, what benefit does it have to stick it to us for 54 years? Zero.
I have no
idea. Zero benefit.
We do have a super chat from Code. Code, thank you for your super chat. Said, why are we blaming the refs? This is a personal problem with players being afraid of contact. When we had Rubio, Oubre, and Baines, we lived at the free throw line.
Yeah, and we won 30-something games. Whoopity-doo!
Code, thank you for the super chat, though. We do appreciate that. Well, listen.
I think the point that's being made is not that he wants those players back.
My point is they drew contact, and they won 30-something games. I'll take this side of it if I have to, but today was horse crap.
Yeah.
All right?
Listen, like, I the refs are part of the game. You got to deal with it. The Suns also had other opportunities to win this game. I honestly felt like it was those stupid-ass Dwayne Dedman fucking threes, those back-to-back threes that kind of spurred the Heat onto the run that they had. It was what spurred them to their run, and that's kind of how everything started falling apart a little bit. But again, the Suns haven't really been in this position outside of, I think, what, Portland? That was a close game.
Yeah.
It's been a while, and, you know, it happens. You'll get through it. And I'd much rather swallow this game than what I saw the other day against the Orlando Magic, because at least I feel like they were competitive. They had great competitive effort on both ends of the court. They got hosed by the refs, and they'll learn from it and they'll move on.
Can we scroll up here a second? Mannery Nolan says, small market. That's why, Espo. Phoenix isn't a small market.
They're not. They're
By
not.
No measure is Phoenix a small market, except in mindset. That's the only place they're a small market.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Well, I understand we're not a small market, but we are viewed as one, and television and rights-wise, we're not.
Because
we're
Robert Sarver was a cheap son of a bitch for 18 years and spent like a small market franchise.
Maybe, but we're still not the Warriors or the Knicks or the Celtics.
We're
or any
like
of those
the
teams.
Eighth. What are we? Like the eighth largest, seventh, I think it's seventh, seventh largest yeah. television market in the country.
I feel like when these people are saying small market, they're not talking about literal TV market. They're talking about the rank of where you are as far as NBA teams go.
They are, I would argue, a top eight NBA franchise. They're a top eight NBA franchise.
You think so?
They're the best if you take rings out of it.
Especially when you take the future former, the disgraced future former owner out of it. This is a top eight market in the NBA.
But you know there's a huge fall off between like the top five and everybody else.
Yeah, but we're not fucking Sacramento and Indiana.
No.
This is not small market.
No, we're not. We're not that. But we're also not at the top.
Okay, big market, LA, New York.
We're middle market.
Then Phoenix is in that next tier.
Okay, fine. I'll take that.
They're not in the Boston. They're not in the Golden State. They're not
they
in
are.
The.
I don't think the they thing. Are.
If you take out the 10 years of losing, right? I know that's a big.
Literally erase a whole decade.
Oh my god!
When we were top 10 in free throws.
But right now, the last 3 years, they've been a top team in the NBA.
Yes. That's 3 years.
And the franchise history before that. The other 30 some odd years, they were one of the top teams in the NBA. Mm-hmm. They're not small market. And if they are below Golden State and the likes there, Boston, it's not by that much.
Espo,
this is not a small market team.
We're not
only in mindset.
From a TV perspective, I understand what you guys are saying. Phoenix is not a small market. The way that that is worded makes it seem like that's what they're talking about. But I don't think that's what they actually are talking about. I think that's us being in the know of like how those metrics work. But we are not a top NBA team in the league.
Top eight, and I will go to my grave.
Man, we are just
hang the banner.
The start of this season has really just changed everything. I don't understand it. I literally clamored for Landry Shamet to do well one game. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. Yeah,
you're mad at DA
I'm mad at DA, and damn it, I agree with Espo.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Thank you.
What is
I do. We're not a small market team.
No, I don't think we're a small market team, but we are not a top market mid. Team either. We're mid.
I don't believe that either.
Because
when Colangelo's here, we were a destination. And then we had this fuck up come in and it kind of ruined the whole vibes. Now we're going to get rid of him and hopefully we'll get somebody else to come in here and kind of recoup what Colangelo built in the first place. I'm agreeing with Espo.
The vibes are immaculate, people. Yes.
Oh no!
But
top
and listen,
tier, Phoenix, baby.
In our hearts, yes. In our hearts, they're number freaking one in the league.
I'm gonna say this, Lindsey Gerald, you're mid tonight. All right?
Oh, wow!
That's fair.
Wow.
I feel like I can't see out of one eye like DA. But I don't know. Maybe okay. Listen,
man, I've had a lot of
OGs
this year.
Maybe tomorrow we need to do a rank and file of top teams based on like how we perceive fandom for those teams.
Man,
do we need to do that?
We might have to.
We
now.
Might have to. I don't know.
Oh, it's on.
Oh man.
Oh my goodness. Well, okay. Before things get too out of control, let's take a break to talk about more furniture because these chairs are mighty comfy. Mm-hmm. I low-key
they'll comfort your soul.
Almost fell asleep in the loungers we have in our viewing area of the office to watch all the games because those recliners are so comfortable, you guys. They literally, it's like a foot recliner, the back recliner, and then the headrest. You can scoot that forward if you need to. Mm-hmm. They've got a little tray that's built in for your computer or your whatever, if you're eating dinner, all that kind of stuff. More Furniture has some really dope things.
Let's just say it. Top-tier furniture.
Top-tier furniture. Definitely not made.
There ain't no place in New York or L.A. or San Francisco that's better than this. More Furniture is top-tier.
This is
big market furniture.
This is what you're agreeing with.
I might reconvert here in a few minutes.
Too late. You already said it. And if you guys want to spruce up your home during More Furniture's fall sale, you can check them out at morefurniture.com. Plus, right now, you'll receive a $100 gift card for every $1,000 you spend. You know why Espo is the host of our fantasy show? Because he lives in fantasy land.
Damn! To make some money by
playing fantasy sports is by downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. It's a heck of a lot of fun. You can watch the fantasy show with Espo and all of the co-hosts over there.
And he will make all your dreams come true.
Yes, exactly.
My fantasy is now Lindsay disappearing. So.
Oh, damn.
Shots fired.
Easy
back
Thanos.
I'm here for this. Let's go.
Damn, it didn't work.
Thanos is on my team. That's because you didn't like Thanos originally. I did. Anyway, we dropped the link in the chat. It's also in the description of the show. Sign up using the promo code PHNX and Underdog Fantasy will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code PHNX to get in on the action today. Okay. Do you guys want to talk about DeAndre Ayton now?
Sure.
Small market center. No,
get back to get back to the second half of Michael's super chat earlier. Do you feel like DA is afraid of contact? Do you feel like in these kind of clutch time moments, DA disappears often? Or is this just something that was like, tonight wasn't the night?
Again, I just, you know, in the first half, I got a little frustrated. But then he started to play strong. And he played really strong until he got poked in the eye. Mm. Came out of the game. And when he came back in, he wasn't the same guy that left in the first place. I don't know what happened. Maybe he got a little bit more timid. But again, you have got to demand the ball. You got to. You know that the team is frazzled. You know that everything's kind of helter-skelter out there. And Book is doing his damnedest to try and get, you know, the ball out of his hands, out of double teams. And everybody's just kind of looking for that guy to help out. That was a perfect opportunity for DA to be able to step up, take the ball. And in addition to that, there was a couple times where he got the rebound and he didn't even look at the basket. Didn't even look. He just automatically passed it out. Bro, you got the rebound with 5 seconds left to go in the game and still threw it out. You were right there by the basket. You're down by one. What the fuck are you doing? Jesus, I'm trying to go to bat for you, guy. And every time I do, you just turn around and punch me right in the nads. I'm kind of tired of it.
Is that why you were talking so loud?
Oh, my gosh, man. Oh, man.
You hit that high note pretty well.
He was right there at the basket.
I will take the other road, which again, we're reversing roles this season, apparently.
Look at us, you guys. The turns table.
I will say the fourth quarter, he didn't really do much. He had one or two offensive rebounds. And like you said, there was that one where he could have pump faked, kind of gone up, put something up, drew some contact. He didn't. He wasn't the same when he came back in after getting poked in the eye. Up till that point, that third quarter was huge, and it was part of what helped the Suns create separation. I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes from, is he'll have spurts even within games, within seasons, where he will just look dominant. And we were talking about how when he crashes the offensive glass like he was, that's a good sign of his engagement. It's a good sign that like he is locked in. I think, what was it, 8 of his 12 rebounds tonight were offensive rebounds. Yep. He only had 4 defensive rebounds, but because he was attacking that offensive glass, him and Torrey Craig, the Suns were able to keep things alive. But then you go to the fourth quarter and those offensive rebounds don't lead to much. He has that one bad pass that was a turnover. Like, they just need him to be better in those kind of key moments.
We got one phrase for people like that. Mm-hmm. He ain't about that life. He ain't about that life.
But you bring up, okay, he was good on the offensive glass, which he traditionally has been. Mm-hmm. But where's the defensive rebounds too?
Like, that's a fair question.
Which is an important thing. Apparently, Saul is so broken up that he has to.
Hey, asshole, when I'm on camera, let me do what the fuck I
want to
do.
I didn't realize we were on that camera. Sorry. Oh my Anyways, God. But DA, you know, not hitting those. You didn't even get me one? Jeez.
Fuck you.
Oh, God.
DA not getting those offensive or those defensive rebounds. Mm. Plus, I'm sorry, you get poked in the eye, and it looked fairly serious, at least enough to get examined for a while on the bench. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to affect your play when you come
back
in.
Yeah. All I'm saying is my contacts are really dry right now, and I'm having a hard time reading the comments, and it's throwing my game off. So imagine getting poked in the eye that hard. I feel like it would be hard to come back completely from that.
Eric Rodriguez, Espo ruined the TV magic. He didn't even know what camera he was on.
I forgot we had two cameras.
I was like completely off screen. I was like, I'm going to grab a beer for our Four Peaks read. I'm so distracted. What's Shane doing over here?
Shiny things. So DA. And eye poking.
He did play 34 minutes tonight, which that was with the eye poking.
So eight more minutes than the last time.
Right. About. So we're moving in the right direction. We just need to see a little more production in the fourth, because that third quarter, that was exactly what we've been waiting to see for the last couple games. Now we need some consistency. We need it to carry over. And it's tough that it came in a loss, because if the Suns had just done what they normally do, we wouldn't be talking about DA's fourth quarter production. But because they blew that lead, because they lost, that's why we're talking about this.
Yeah. And he before that fourth quarter, there were moments of this game where it was like, okay, DA, yes, this is what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In that third quarter, something happened. I don't know if the Heat were chirping or whatever, but DA got a couple rebounds. He got a couple putbacks, got a couple dunks, and he started talking some shit back to the Miami Heat. And he was feeling himself. And that's, I mean, we all sat here and I was like, there it is. There's that guy that we've been waiting to show up. And then the very next play, poke in the eye, and then he disappeared and gone. Like he never even existed.
How much is this mental?
It's all mental.
I mean,
at this point,
you see him get fired up and then it disappears.
You heard it on the broadcast. It was clear as day. DA dropping an F-bomb.
Yeah.
Everybody heard it. So there's aggression there. There's emotion there. So maybe on the flip side, if something happens, even something as simple as rolling your ankle or a poke in the eye, like, and I'm not saying that those are minuscule things, like they can absolutely affect you for sure. But that type of stuff, maybe it does have a bigger effect on him mentally than we all think it does.
Do they need an assistant on the sideline that just insults him and then like slaps him in the face before he goes out?
I'd be more than happy to do that. I will sit right behind the Suns bench. I will sit right behind the bench and be like, you ain't shit. I bet you won't. I bet you won't do that.
Like, I don't know if he likes negative reinforcement. That might just make it worse. I think he's a positive reinforcement.
Well, we gave him like 140 million reasons of positive reinforcement, and that's not working.
Saul and I have coddled him for four straight years.
We just had this conversation last week. His love language tank is empty. He needs words of affirmation.
I've been giving him words of affirmation for 4 years. What else do I need to do?
You know what we need on this show? Every post game, we need the DA love language tank meter. Where is he? Closer to empty? Closer to full? How are we feeling? Can we make that for next show?
Emma
says yes.
We gotta make five of the love languages for him. Because that's how this goes.
I'm gonna hate this graphic.
Yes,
so
like, I don't want to be here for this.
Gerald, you have no idea what's about to come your way when we welcome to Girth again down the road.
It's our version of advanced analytics.
Those analytics I don't like.
Oh, no. We saw a couple of those today, and Gerald was like, not
bridge too far.
We do have a super chat from Trevor. Trevor, thank you for your super chat. Said, man, someone needs to help Book. He can't do it alone. Seems like Mikel and DA go missing when the games get close. Like they're scared to score.
I think when you get into these battles in this, in this fourth quarter, it's a lot different when you're just a role player in those battles. And I think this is the first time that we're seeing this Suns team in these battles minus Chris Paul. And that's a different kind of animal because you're not expected to be the person that the team has to rely on. And it takes some time for these two guys and Cam Johnson, when he comes back, to develop that confidence, that stability, understanding not to panic in the moment, just settle down, just go through your game and your emotions and you'll be fine. But it takes a little bit of time, even in your fourth year. If you've never had to be the man, then you don't know what being the man is all about. And in this case, Devin Booker is obviously that dude, but he needs some help. Usually it's Chris Paul. DA and Mikhail have to step up, and I think they'll learn a lot from this game. I really do.
Hey, Lindsay, can I read the other super chat?
Oh, yeah. If you want to, you absolutely can.
All right.
Can.
Our friend Icon says, ranked by television market, we are 11 small. I'm going to fact check this a little bit.
Ooh.
Because Espo knows how to use the Google.
Oh, no.
And the Google tells me that there's 210 television markets in the United States.
Which means 11
number 11?
Small.
8 small. Thank you very much.
I mean, yeah, there's 30
math,
NBA teams.
Gerald,
there's
math,
30
your best
NBA
friend.
Teams. It's not small. I'm not going to say it's small, but 11 out of 30 is not
Gerald,
big.
It's top.
It's not even top
it's
10.
It's in the top third of the league.
Okay, Gerald, listen.
That's not math.
He just said
10 out of 30 is not top 10.
He just said I'm not going to say it's small. But I'm also going to say it's not big.
It's not math.
Dear God, you guys.
Look, I'm going to change back to what he was
saying. Thank God this is not a math podcast.
I'm
going
to go back to what Saul was saying because
we all suck.
I don't. I know
you
how
disagreed.
To do fucking fractions.
You disagreed with 11 out of 210 not being small.
Because there's 30 NBA teams.
There's not 210.
I know how to do math.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Sorry. I was one off of it being top third. I apologize.
That's how the math works. But look, going back to what Saul said, I think because this was such a heated game and they lost the way that they did, we're kind of spouting off the takes, but like we need to take a step back and remember this is a game without Chris Paul, without Cam Johnson, with Jay Crowder sitting at home. And yes, we can say that DA didn't show up in the fourth quarter, but like there's a difference between saying he's soft or he's garbage or he's not good and saying he was good. We wanted him to be great tonight and the Suns needed him to be great with so many guys out. And I think that's my bigger takeaway is he had a really good stretch. You wanted to see that in the fourth quarter. You wanted to see Mikal Bridges do anything. I don't think Bridges or Ayton scored in the fourth quarter. You're not going to win a lot of games, especially with Paul and Cam Johnson out, when two of your top three guys don't score in the fourth quarter.
Jared, I got some more mathemication for you.
Oh boy.
Seven of the top 30 TV markets, not in the NBA, so top third, buddy boy.
This is your fault. This is your fault. You and Lindsay, this is your fault.
I tried to change the subject.
You guys wanted Espo and I to do more analytics.
That's
and
now not what that is.
You've opened up the can of worms, and now it's never going to be closed.
Dude, man.
Wait, so are you saying they're a top 10 NBA market?
You cannot.
Are they a top 10 NBA
market? Yes, they're set in the top 30 television markets. Seven aren't in the NBA.
Wait, but of the NBA markets, if you had to rank just NBA markets, where do they rank? Among
we're gonna
NBA
listen.
Markets.
Let's stop this conversation right now. We can continue this more tomorrow. We can literally look up the numbers and we will list it out. We'll put it on a doggone graphic so everyone can see it, and then we'll talk
it's
about
not gonna
it tomorrow.
Matter because there's still a giant gap.
I am aware. We're gonna figure it out tomorrow. We're gonna put a pin in this one. We're gonna move on.
Juan saw the show the other day. He said, "Saul, shoot some water into Espo's mouth."
We're going to put a pin in this one hot second because I'm tired of being negative. I want to move over to some positivity in this game.
Are we taking OGs?
No, we're going to talk about Dwayne Washington Jr.
Fix this tonight.
Because
he had that new dad, new haircut energy tonight. And we actually got to see Dwayne Washington Jr. in the first quarter, you guys.
We did. We did.
I was shocked when Monty put
so
him
was
in
Monty.
This game.
It was I said, damn it. Oops.
Oh my
I thought
God.
I didn't recognize him. He had shorter hair. I thought it called
said,
the game.
You know what he did was he was like, AD. He meant Dario. But then Dwayne got up. And he was like, oh, shit. Well, all right, fuck it.
Well, it worked out well for everyone because he came in and he played really well.
Mm-hmm.
He finished tonight with 21 points and he was 5 of 8 from deep. Like, I loved what we saw from Dwayne Washington Jr. tonight.
I mean, I
absolutely loved it.
We've been saying, yeah, you got to listen, Monty. This is again when we talk about regular season games. Mm-hmm. How much do they matter? How much do they not matter? These are the times where you have to try. You have to experiment. These are the things that you got to try. You got to throw D-Wash out there for more than just 2 minutes at the end of the game to see what he's got. They did that tonight, and he has 21 points. Like, and he was probably the best shooter tonight on the floor. Like, you have to play these guys. I think the biggest egregious error that Monty had last year was not playing Aaron Holiday as much as I thought he should have. Because when you got to that playoff series, I know he wouldn't have made all the difference, but damn, he might have made a little bit of a difference. And sometimes you just never know who's going to give you that spark. Right now is the time to try that. And I think Monty hopefully is learning his lesson on that, especially when you don't have two of your key players. You might as well just experiment a little bit here and there. Also, I don't know why Dario didn't play at all, but that's a side note.
He's being traded.
Stop.
I'm just kidding. Every time he doesn't play, I'm going to default.
That's all
that.
There is to it.
That's all it is. Put Dwayne Washington Jr. into my veins. Mm-hmm. Like that was fun to watch. Mm-hmm. The guy is instant offense.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, you know, he was hitting everything from deep. He was 5 of 8. If you even get a flash of that, he should be a guy that's playing in that bench rotation. And, you know, if it's not in the cards to play him at point guard, play him at shooting guard if you have to. Just get him out there on the floor to see if he can replicate this kind of production. It doesn't have to be 21 points, but if you can get 2-3 three-pointers out of him on, you know, 5-6 attempts, you know, or 7 attempts, whatever the case may be, you got to try that. This bench needs to be jump-started. And I think a guy like Dwayne Washington Jr. very much could provide that spark.
Yeah, he definitely did. Like, he had those 16 first half points. He gave us the great finger gun celebration. Yeah. Like, he was a fun part of what they were doing early. Exactly. Like, it was fun to watch.
Don't zoom in on that, Emma.
No, don't. Don't. I almost made Espo spew into the mic.
Tonight is a mess.
But look, and I will say, because someone brought up, like, okay, we want Dwayne Washington to play. Why didn't some of us want to trade for Jordan Clarkson? Well, until this season, Jordan Clarkson wasn't as good a three-point shooter as Dwayne. He's shooting the ball really well. Clarkson is to start the year. But, like, Washington's a more proven shooter, so that would be why. But
also, we don't need to give anything up for Dwayne.
Right, and you need that if you're going with some of those point book lineups when campaign's not playing well, when Chris Paul is out. Like, Dwayne Washington was a great release valve for Book when those double teams came. So that's kind of why I was a little bummed we didn't see him in that fourth quarter, because if you're giving the ball to campaign, he's usually pump faking, driving, and putting up a floater. With Dwayne Washington, he's just going to launch that three. And whether it's a good three or not, he is a good three-point shooter. So it would have been nice if that kind of back-breaking play had been there.
I will say this. You know, we talked about the bench. We talked about the roles that players have. I think it's all but locked away that Dwayne Washington should be the third guard coming off the bench, or second guard coming off the bench. It should be Campaign. When Chris Paul comes back, it should be Campaign, and it should be Dwayne Washington.
Yes.
He's already hopped Landry Shamet.
Oh.
Well, I mean, Shamet, I know for you, but let's ask Gerald, the man that knows.
Well, I would say Shamet, like, you can play them both, like, and maybe defensively Dwayne isn't the best in that regard. He's a little undersized, but like Shamet defends well, and that way you can play Shamet off the ball, and we can stop with this charade that Shamet is like somehow a backup point guard in spots. Because like he playmade at Wichita State, and they always bring that up, but like in the NBA, that has not been his role. So like,
you could argue they technically have no real backup point guard.
Oh, right.
True.
As long as Chris Paul is out, they don't, because it's Campaign and Dwayne.
I think
Dwayne.
Campaign's more is still better off the ball, trying to score, be a scorer, yeah. Because you know he's not the guy that's trying to set up people.
He can play make, like we saw it last year during that 15 game stretch. He averaged double digit assists, but like yeah, playmaking is not his go to thing. And Dwayne and Landry, Landry's better as a secondary creator. Dwayne is a score first guard, tried and true. So like they don't really have a lot of stability in that playmaking department outside of it. They need it to be a team based thing where they're moving the ball.
All I know is I'm just glad that we got to see Dwayne, and I'm really hopeful that we get to see more Dwayne this year than that Monty doesn't pull another Aaron Holiday on
hopefully
him, because that does you no good.
No.
There is quite literally no positive, no benefit to your team whatsoever by not ever giving somebody on your team a single chance.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. And if we're in the business of trying things out this year and taking some L's in the name of testing things out, then we better see some Dwayne Washington Jr. We better test it out. But either way, Dwayne Washington
Jr.
Making
a transition to something else. Like, where are we going with this?
Oh. I'm just talking.
Oh, my bad.
Saul's not used to it.
Well, there's, you want to transition? Dwayne Washington Jr. is your DraftKings king of the game.
He deserved better than that.
He did, but you killed it. Congratulations, Dwayne Washington Jr. You are a DraftKings king of the game. He finished tonight with 21 points, 4 assists, 8 of 14 from the field, and 5 of 8 from deep.
I gotta say, can we pull that back up, Emma?
What? Don't do it.
Oh, he's gonna go there.
Do it, Booker.
He's gonna go there.
Don't do it.
It's a little rough right now. You know, it's a little rough. You know, like, you gotta go the whole length of the head, you know, and this is just a forehead crown.
So she put a tiara like a visor on him. It's all right.
It's basically, yeah, it's a tiara, basically.
It's like a visor.
It's a visor. It's a visor crown. It's a visor crown.
Tonight's game only deserved a tiara. All right.
Oh, man.
It's like the Burger King crown. Remember those?
Yeah.
Don't you rip on the Burger King.
Is that the slogan for Burger King? I don't know. You can't have it your way. Tonight you can't. But you can have a lot of fun on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Right now, new customers can make any $5 NBA Moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use promo code PHNX. That's promo code PHNX on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Who hit tonight? I hit. Did you hit yours?
I hit.
Espo?
I came close, but I missed by like 30
so
seconds.
So no, he did not hit.
No, 30 seconds. Gerald, I'm pretty sure you hit.
I'm guessing I hit, yeah.
Yeah. I think Jay Crowder was definitely watching.
Again.
We'll have to check his Instagram.
I can't mention this enough. Next game, whatever the point spread is for the first half for the Suns, always take the over. Take the over. Mm. If they say it's 50-something, 55-something, take the over. They haven't scored less than 60 points this whole season.
I just checked Jay Crowder's Instagram. There's black and white video of him watching Suns.
You're such a liar.
Rubbing his
hands.
You're
such a liar.
I still prepare.
Anytime.
What are you guys drinking tonight?
I'm drinking a peach ale.
Yeah? That's what you got, a peach ale too?
Yeah, Emma came up big when Saul dissed me and didn't bring me a beer. So that's why she's the ultimate producer on PHNX.
Hey-o. Four Peaks Beer, guys. It makes dealing with Suns losses so much easier. It also makes having a great time after Suns wins a lot better as well. And right now, we've teamed up with our friends over at Four Peaks to host all of Mexico and U.S. World Cup matches. They're going to be a blast. So Join us at Four Peaks for Mexico's first World Cup match Tuesday, November 22nd. Be there at 8 a.m. for a delicious breakfast buffet, drink specials, and an appearance from Rising Head Coach. Buy your tickets in the description of the show. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. We're going to have, like we said, giveaways, guest appearances, beer specials. There's going to be $3 kilt lifter and Wow Wheat pints. Mm. And it's coming up just around the corner. So plan to come hang out with us. Just a reminder to drink Four Peaks beer. You do have to be 21 years or older. And we ask that you enjoy responsibly. All right. We have a couple super chats. So Trevor said, this is therapy. Thanks for making me feel better. Thank You're you welcome, for being Trevor. Here, Trevor. We appreciate you.
Icon, do we
Icon
really
want, doesn't listen.
Do we really want to go there?
Icon, I said we're really putting a pin in this.
Okay. I get that we're talking TV markets here, mm-hmm. But he counts two teams in LA. The Clippers have been horseshit for years until recently. Oh. So I don't count them as a better franchise than Phoenix overall.
Okay, so Icon said New York, LA, Philly, Chicago, Dallas, San Francisco, Atlanta, Houston, DC, Boston, and then Phoenix. And New York and LA have two teams. That's 12 teams before us, basically.
Yeah. And New York, a hot dumpster fire. The Knicks as a franchise. I still put the Suns as a better franchise than the Knicks.
But it's not about, okay, right. Hold. Doggone it. Now you
we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Let's talk about it tomorrow.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. Come back and I'll teach you why you were so wrong.
I don't think we're talking about different
things. Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow.
We're definitely talking about different
things. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Did you guys see that book Block tonight?
Yes.
That was pretty. That was something that was really fun from tonight's game.
He was staring down the guy that he blocked his shot before the ball landed out of bounds. Like, he was already turning to stare him down.
He was talking, too. It wasn't just a stare. He was saying things as well. And I can't imagine that guy felt very good about himself after.
No.
I will say, though, even though Book was gassed at the end of this game, he did. You never question Devin's effort and energy, I feel like. And that is something that I wish everybody on this team could emulate from Book, because he always brings it every single night. And I think we're super lucky to have at least one guy on this team that is consistent in that way. And hopefully he rubs off and continues to rub off on these younger guys and they grow into that same type of consistency from him.
He was awesome on both ends of the court for sure. You know, somebody even said, and then he got the steal too, like right after that, which was, I mean, again, he's stepping up on both ends of the court. He's playing at a very high level. He's an undeniable top tier player in this league, and that's what you come to rely. When you get to the point where Booker makes it look easy and just kind of ho hum, that's when you know he's arrived, and that's how I feel about him. And also, like, okay, yeah, the fourth quarter he didn't come up with the clutch shots, but again, I just feel like this is just another learning moment in his life and in his career, and he's going to learn from this situation and he's going to move on, and the Suns are going to be better for it all as a whole team too. So
yeah, and we were talking about this heading into the fourth, like, Devin Booker only had 15 points and he had 10 of his 25 for the game in that fourth quarter. So, like, we talk about Mikhail and Ayton needing to step up. Book stepped up for them in that fourth tonight. He shook off a really bad shooting night in Orlando the other night, and he finished with 25, 8, 5, and 3 steals on 50% shooting and got the Suns half of their 4 free throw attempts. Like,
got him their only 2 makes.
Right. Well. Like, he did what he needed to, and he clearly got gas. But you're right. Like, I think we've gotten to the point where we consistently expect that level of greatness from Book, that if we were to go by who the Suns' actual best player was for a lot of our King of the Game award, it would be boring. It would be him most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, he just does it all. My only concern right now is we're back to pre-Monty, you know, Book, where he has to do everything. He's getting worn down. But he's got no serious help from the guys that we thought were going to be the help here, like we talked about in Mikhail and DA, and that just concerns me.
But I think this is different than that, because you have guys that are talented enough to be able to execute in the fourth quarter, or at least play at a high level. In the first, second, third quarter, when Book was kind of running that point, he was, first of all, his growth in terms of a playmaker has grown exponentially since those point book days. Like, he's a much better passer. He's aware of where guys are on the court far better than he was back then. And the guys were coming through for the most part in that second and third quarter. You get to the fourth quarter. Hey, listen, assholes get a little tight when that score gets a little close in that fourth quarter, and some dudes show up and some dudes disappear. And I think those guys that disappeared over here, those guys that disappeared, I think they'll learn from that and they'll grow from that. And I think Booker, this is another teaching moment, not only for Booker, but also for those guys to grow. Like, I don't really see this game as a negative. I thought the Orlando game was a tragedy, and I thought it was a huge negative. I can swallow this game because there are multiple points where you can learn from this game and grow as a team, and you'll be better the next time you are in this position when it gets kind of crazy, when it gets kind of wild. Like, this reminded me, honestly, of, obviously it's not a finals game, but how I felt in some of those fourth quarters against the Bucks, where, you know, they got on a run and shit's kind of going haywire. You need somebody to step up. That's what this reminded me of. And that puts them right back in that seat. And I'm okay with that. That's a growth opportunity. So I know it wasn't the outcome we wanted. And I know the refs kind of, they screwed us big time. However, I think this is a great opportunity for them to learn and move on. And I think they will.
I don't disagree with you that Book's different than when he was in this position before. I just worry, you gotta, somebody, they either need these guys to internally grow to be consistent guys to run with him, or get the guy that can be the guy to run with him. Because as the chat's been saying, Book always has talked about his love for Kobe. Unfortunately, he's Kobe in those years that the Suns used to beat the Lakers in the playoffs, because he doesn't have the guys right now at this particular point around him. I want to see McHale. I want to see DA become the guys that can.
But even Kobe, even Michael, even LeBron, like, there was times where you had to learn from opportunities, and they will do that in this game. And this isn't even a playoff game. This isn't even like all the chips are on the line. Like, this is a great opportunity to learn what your team's about when the pressure is high. And I really do feel like they will overcome that and they'll be better for it. And the next time they're in this position, I guarantee you one of those two guys is going to step up. One of them.
Yeah, but Jordan needed Pippen. Kobe needed Shaq or Powell. These guys need
Book
that
needs his
two.
Person.
However, Jordan also made Pippen. And Booker can make something out of McHale, or Booker can make something out of DA. At least McHale. I don't know about DA.
Damn.
That's not a slight. It's just,
no, I know.
Either you have that dog in you or you don't. Right now, he's a little puppy.
Right. And I will say, like, last year, the Suns were, they put up some of the best clutch numbers of all time in terms of record, in terms of point differential. I'm not sure if this data includes tonight yet, because sometimes it takes a little while to update. But so far in four crunch time games, the Suns are 1-3, but they have a positive point differential of plus 0.08. So it's one of those things where we are seeing them go through these trials of not having Chris Paul out there late in games, of putting other guys in different positions. And I know it's rough because they've lost three of their last four now, but ultimately this should be a good learning experience.
Even those crunch time games last year, at no point in time did we ever feel like they were rattled. It seemed like it was just run of the mill. Like, this is just what's going to happen. They easily executed down the stretch and they won these games fairly easily. They made it look easy.
They did.
We never really saw them in these kind of situations.
Mm-hmm. But in most cases, Book had CP3, who, whether he had played well earlier in the game or not, was otherworldly in the final 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see that second guy show up yet, but when we get halfway through the season, when we get two-thirds of the way through the season, we're getting close to playoffs, I need to know who that guy is on this roster.
Oh, yeah, sure. And I think we'll get there. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest thing from last year to this year. That's the biggest change, is that you can no longer rely on that. Like, that was last year's bread and butter, right?
Yep.
Crunch time Suns, their bread and butter. That can't be your thing this year.
And
you have to put it away early, and you have to be able to rely on guys not named Devin and Chris Paul in addition to them.
Well,
you can't just only be on those two.
And to be clear, we don't even know We haven't seen Chris Paul really in that moment either. We got to see a little bit of him in Portland, but he didn't exactly play well during that time either down the stretch. So, you know, we don't know what crunch time Chris Paul looks like yet. In this game, it would have been great to see him in this to see what would have happened. But, you know, again, there's just so much stuff in the air. These are all learning opportunities. They're 8-5, and they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
Two things for the Girthlings. Mm-hmm. First, Brian says DA equals Sam Bowie.
Nope,
that is still Marvin Bagley, and it will always be Marvin Bagley from that draft. And to everybody that said that I should be traded for Tim Kempton.
That's rude.
I win that deal because I get to go sit next to Al McCoy, and you guys lose that deal. So.
I say no. I'm just going to put that one out there.
We're good with our roster. No, we're internally developing here on this set.
Growth. Every game.
I think that's about it for the game. Lids, yeah. You did. I was like, I don't know what to do now. I think that's about it. We pretty much covered everything from the game, but I did want to leave you guys with a little piece of advice. We all had Chop Shop for lunch today, and it was really delightful. So I'm just saying, tomorrow, I got it all planned for you. Just order at originalchopshop.com. You can pick it up. I think you can have it delivered as well. That's your plan for tomorrow. Tuesday's lunch, Original Chop Shop. It's super bomb. What'd you guys have? Do you remember?
No.
I had like a steak bowl.
I had the red chili shrimp.
Okay.
The steak bowl is my favorite.
The steak bowl is my favorite too.
I had the prosciutto chicken sandwich.
Ooh.
It's my go-to and it's spectacular.
Fancy.
I think I had like the spicy Korean steak or something
Did
like that.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good. It was very good.
And they have really good cookies too. Mm-hmm. So
I had an espresso cookie before this, and I think that's to blame.
Oh, is that why?
Whatever the hell this was.
That's what happened.
All right. Well, check them out. Thank you to Chop Shop for providing us lunch today. It was absolutely delightful. You guys should check them out and order at originalchopshop.com one more time. Also, the holidays are just around the corner. Get ahead of the craze and like figuring all those things out last minute. PHNX Locker is where you can get all of your holiday shopping done. We've got gift cards. So in case you don't know size or which team, whoever is on your list really wants a shirt from this year, you can take care of all of that. We've got really dope merch. So check the link out. It is in the description of the show, but again, that's phnxlocker.com where you can find some really cool t-shirts, hats, all the things. And you can also get a membership, which is amazing. And you get a free t-shirt for that. So you can balance it out and see which one floats your boat and get all your holiday shopping done in one easy place. But
membership news coming out this week. Yeah. You're going to love it. I promise. Black Friday sales coming. Big time changes. Yeah. And the Black Friday sale next week is huge too. It's usually our one of our more popular things that we do with our merch.
And also don't procrastinate like I'm inevitably going to do with presents this year. Like I always do. Just get it done early. Set your alarm. Do all the shopping on Black Friday.
Wait a minute. Didn't you ask me today if we could delay our Secret Santa because you wouldn't have enough time?
Exactly. I need more time.
She procrastinates is what she says.
I need more time. So. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate you. Hit that like button on your way out because it helps us out a lot. Don't forget to subscribe if you're listening to this wherever you get your podcast. And leave us a 5-star review because that also helps us out.
Also, real quick, just a little reminder for those of you in the chat, don't be a dick. Be cool. We're all here to have fun. We all love the Suns like you do. You don't need to come in here and be a, you know, kind of an a-hole. Like, just chill. It's not that serious. It's just a game.
They're 8-5 and they're one game out of first.
I can take it if you want to be an ass in the chat.
I can't. Just putting that out there. Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman. You can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. And of course, you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us home.
The Phoenix Suns are a top 8 team in market in the NBA. Suck it, Lindsay. Suck it, Gerald. Suck it, Icon. Ahoy, hoy. PHNX though, Lindsay, Gerald, Espo. Saw past the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me, y'all always rep the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G, no plan B. Always on the job.